Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
You pull the trigger of my love gun, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Good win for Man City in Denmark, and we have a blue card update. It's Wednesday, 14th of Feb. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble on the Day of Love, a.k.a. Kevin Keegan's birthday.
Who could forget such a momentous day? And who could forget the people enjoying part of their Valentine's Day by the smoothest man in podcasting saying that they pulled the trigger of his love gun.
Well, it's thanks to the friend of the Ramble, Bruce Callender, for sending us today's intro line. Of course, you can become a friend of the Ramble by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. Plenty of Kevin Keegan chat
it's
on
love,
there.
Love Gun by Kiss, that song, for those who are interested.
I'd have thought so.
Yeah, it's by Kiss.
But very fitting for today.
I just looked it up.
Yeah, if you do that, you'll also get a special extended version of the Ramble today and every single Wednesday. For just $5 a month, you'll also get access to the Ramble Discord, where there has recently been a debate about who we should employ from football to run the country. One patron suggested Jason Tindall as deputy Prime Minister.
I'm at the stage now where I'm thinking, is that honestly going to be that bad?
No. Yeah.
I don't even know who the Deputy Prime Minister is. So it couldn't be that bad.
Get him in there.
Yeah, definitely.
He would wind up other governments.
I think we're doing that all right, aren't we?
Yeah, but at least it would be amusing, not an embarrassing kind of way. Do you know what? That's where we are. That would be less embarrassing. But anyway, we'll carry on that conversation on today's extended version of The Rambles. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble and sign up to listen to that. So yes, many happy returns for Kevin Keegan. Valentine's Day, of course. But yesterday, there was a wonderful performance, perhaps in tribute to Pancake Day, but my goodness, what a sweet, sweet victory it was. Just glorious football, some lovely goals. And I am talking about Mansfield Town 9, Harrogate 2. Described as in-form Harrogate, Andy. Well, you can shove your informity up your arse.
You know, when Mansfield lost at Wimbledon about 2.5 weeks ago, Nigel Clough was so angry afterwards. I thought, they're going to absolutely marmalise someone in a week.
Marmalise.
Marmalise.
And they did.
You Paddington.
Andy, who's got a reputation. As people on this show have got a reputation for being nice guys in an unwarranted way. Obviously, Marcus is top of the tree.
Thanks.
But
Abosh.
But Brasso is genuinely a nice guy.
Oh, right.
And he stormed into the office today and said to producer Rory, don't ever send me highlights of a Mansfield Town game again. like a man who just had too much football and he couldn't resort to watching Mansfield
couldn't
Town.
Do it. Well, Nigel Clough, of course, is Mansfield Town manager. Mm. He said they deserve to score 9 goals and said it has been coming at times this season.
Wow.
I mean, how profligate have they been?
Well, exactly.
Walks off at a 3-0 victory. Come on, lads. You've got to put a few more of them away.
About bloody time.
Yeah.
They're famous for their very good defensive record rather than their sort of goalmongousness.
Well, Andy,
but anyway, I'm not having a bar of them. League 2 rivals, not having a bar.
No, Andy, we're having lots of bars because they've now got the best goal difference in League 2. You won't be surprised to hear. They're up in second behind Stockport. And Clough said it was an outstanding exhibition of hurting the opposition of being clinical with the finish.
Nice.
And just the cat that got the cream. Can you imagine what it must be like being a manager?
They will lose their next game.
Your boys have scored 9. You're sat there going, yeah.
Yeah.
Ask away.
Do you know what I'll be doing? On the touchline when the 7th and the 8th went in, I knew the cameras were on me, I'd just be writing notes.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even be celebrating. But yeah, this is part of the plan.
What you've got there, just writing on paper, got it right.
can I? The listeners,
we want 10.
The listeners will want me to ask you this question, Marcus.
Yeah.
Do you?
When are we going to get to the Champions League?
No, definitely not. Do you happen to know how many bookings the Harrogate Town team received in total in this game?
Do you know what? I haven't checked.
No,
but I just because I wanted it to be all about Mansfield. They scored 2 goals at least.
But would it annoy you to hear that they didn't receive a single booking between them in League 2?
Yeah. Well, of course, the original one of that was, I think it was Clough's, was it Burton Albion who got hammered at Man City in the Cup?
Yes.
That may have been the original kind of anger I had at teams not getting a
stuck
booking.
In, yeah.
I think it may have been that. So
there you go.
You know, it's all come full circle. And
before we do go on to the Champions League, can I just bring some more good Valentine's Day news, particularly specifically for you, Marcus?
Is this Leicester City on the verge?
No, nothing to do with Leicester City. On the way in this morning, though, I was fortunate enough to receive a sponsored Instagram post from our good friends at Disney Plus.
Oh, nice.
Who felt the need to let me know that on April 26th, there's a new documentary coming called Thank You and Goodnight, the Bon Jovi Story.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a fitting Valentine's Day present for Marcus Spiller. Did you see that as well?
I got tweeted that.
Good, okay. Well, so you also got a Bon Jovi mail, let's Google alert. So.
No, let's hope the Musketeer isn't in charge before that comes out.
Well, he's doing a terrible job because it's our good listeners who have to keep me informed with such things.
Having ever said that, if Elon Musk would like to buy the Ramble...
Yeah,
I would probably better make my peace with that.
Oh, don't.
The fee will be high.
It would be high.
It would be worth it.
At least look at the fee.
Look at the fee. You have a go at Jordan Henderson, honestly.
He'd be sitting in here smoking blunts, thinking it was the funniest thing in the world. We'll just turn his microphone off. Yeah. He's not going to listen to it. Everybody wins.
Yeah, right. Everybody wins, don't they? There's no losers in that scenario.
Come on, you've not even got a book in.
Anyway, but to those who did send me that stuff about the Bon Jovi documentary.
Oh, looking forward to it.
I'll lay my hands on you.
April 26.
There we are.
Giving documentaries a bad name.
Anyone else want to join in? No, okay. Nah. There's plenty there.
Andy won't lower himself. That's the thing about it.
It's a bit annoying.
It's snidey.
No, it's not lowering. I think he'll elevate himself, I would argue.
He can't get to the standard.
Anyway,
I agree.
We've gone far enough without saying FC Copenhagen 1, Manchester City 3. Manchester City are the first team in UEFA Champions League history to score 3+ goals in 7 consecutive matches.
It's a made-up stat. They're just inventing stats for content reasons now that no one cares about.
It's like the messification of football debate, isn't it?
It's
true. We've run out of things to say about that person, so let's make up a weird
American sports does that all the time. You know, you go into to watch NFL games on TV at Thanksgiving, and they'll literally do Thanksgiving-specific stats.
Mm.
Oh, first QB to throw 300-plus yards on Thanksgiving Thursday. It's just another day.
It's another
day. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It can be a bit... I understand if you look at a season, say, halfway, and say this player's scored the most goals halfway through a season. Okay, I understand that. Let's see how they get on in the second half. It's like the first player to score 10 goals in the first 7 Premier League games. It's like no one marks the first 7 Premier League games
or
whatever.
Just doing it to make it
but,
better.
But this stat does back up the fact that Manchester City are a very good football team.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can all agree on that.
They have won their last 11 games in all competitions. And you'd fancy them to go through in this tie, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be a bit of a stretch for Copenhagen, wasn't it?
But, actually, but the atmosphere, Jim.
The atmosphere was great, yeah. Especially all the alarms they were setting off every time City touched the ball, which I only realised after the game was what was happening. Right. I genuinely thought there was an alarm outside my house, as a lot of people did.
You live in London.
Indeed, yeah. So I guess we'll come back to that. But when Copenhagen get that equaliser, especially with the way they, let's say, behaved in the group, like ruffling feathers and just refusing to be beaten.
Against teams from Manchester.
Against teams from Manchester. A little part of surely every kind of football fan in the world, aside from City fans, are thinking, oh, can they do it if they've got a little chance? It's here. But obviously that was just brushed aside. And that third goal from Phil Foden, it just kills it as a tie, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Beautiful team goal.
I mean, they were brilliant all night and Foden was particularly good as well.
A delightful player. When you say about the noise and the stadium, and all, I did think to myself, you know, when Rio Ferdinand on TNT Sports was punditing on this, as he does, and said, oh, just the home end behind the goal, it's so raucous. I really want to see some action down there in the second half. It's like, Rio, you're going to get pelters for that because of your Manchester United bus. Just say, well, I think the neutral would love to see that end explode. That's how you word it.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. You
know, a little bit of advice.
But is there something procession-like about all this stuff these days? And it's only going to get worse when the Champions League changes next season.
Yes, it will.
To me, like Jim's kind of reminded me of it, talking about the Matson goal with Copenhagen equalised. I just still felt a bit like, okay, I mean, it's a little bump in the road. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
I mean, you've got to celebrate the bumps in the road.
If there was a bit where you were going to be dispirited as a neutral, it would be the Bernardo Silva goal.
Because that's a beauty.
You need...
Mm. What a finish.
But the way it comes to him, though, is really unlucky. It's really unlucky in Copenhagen because it's Matson who makes the block. And you think in most other situations, it's a good challenge. Mm. And it just spins to Bernardo Silva. So all the cliches about, well, you need City to have an off day, which they're not having. You need them to be profligate, which they were to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. You need a lot of luck, which they did get. Mm-hmm. And then that luck got taken straight back off them for the Bernardo Silva goal right on the stroke of half time. And that really, that all but killed the tie, really.
Yeah.
Itself,
I mean, it is an interesting one from what you're kind of saying there, chaps, that it's inevitable Manchester City are going to win this tie. It's utterly inevitable. But at the same time, you do have to marvel at the football. You have to marvel at the way Phil Foden uses the ball, the way Kevin De Bruyne does. Mm. You know, Haaland just doing his thing.
Silva was exceptional last night.
He was. So I understand that one can get a bit down and say, it's so. I mean, you are talking about a Champions League minnow here.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone's surprised that City have eventually rolled them over.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's, you know, decrying the death of football because Man City have beaten Copenhagen.
Right.
I mean, what is interesting about it, though, is I think now that City have won the Champions League and they've answered that question that has essentially defined their modern era, they seem even more formidable.
So not according to Pep, though. He said 99% they won't win the Champions League or maybe the treble, did he say, this
treble
season? Because our former presenter, Jules Breach, said, so there's a 0.01% chances there, Pep, to put it to him.
But so he's playing down the chances of a double treble, right? Which tells you everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. And I think you look at who they might get next and you think, well, who's the team that are going to cause them the most problems? Let's be honest, to keep it interesting, you want Man City to go out as early as possible. Like a double treble would be boring. City winning the Champions League again would be boring just from a neutral perspective, surely, right? Mm-hmm. As much as we marvel at the football, right? So you're thinking it's probably Madrid or Bayern. And I think City would be heavy favourites in both of those.
Well, you saw last season. They didn't have Bellingham last season.
I know,
but produced the way they took the greatest performances of all time, I would say.
That is the best performance I've ever seen in the flesh from a team. It was incredible. But going back to, is it boring? I guess it's just perspective, really, isn't it?
Sure.
Because, for example, I think people forget that at the time, a lot of people thought Pep Guardiola's Barcelona were boring. Yeah. But historical distance gives it a different perspective, I think. So maybe people will look differently at City in like 10 years down the line or whatever. Well, for a whole lot of reasons, I suspect. But as well, I think, you know, you could say that about, say, Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal at the French Open or whatever.
But I think your Guardiola-Barcelona point is...
Because
it's tennis.
The sports are harder to compare, but essentially with City, it's just truckloads of money being chucked at a project. Well, okay, season
but,
after season.
But truckloads of money are chucked at other projects.
But I think
so
Andy,
not
in the same
like
degree,
that.
Though. I think your Barcelona Pep Guardiola contrast is much better and one that can be used. And in this country, I remember not actually feeling bored of it because it was same. Only kind of three seasons. Although in between they didn't win the Champions League, of course. But they were playing. You know, it was amazing. But you're slightly removed from it because it's happening in a different
and
country.
It was also, and I think, it was also
but
new.
I think Jim. But I think Jim perhaps feels this maybe more than any of us, because Arsenal are playing their best football, you could argue, in a number of years, certainly in the Premier League, and because Man City are doing this stuff, that it's stopping Arsenal winning a title.
Yeah, and the thing that the Premier League has always, but the thing that the sure. Premier League has always been able to say, apart from other leagues, look at what's happened to Bayern monopolising the Bundesliga or PSG monopolising Ligue 1. No one could do that to the Premier
Juventus
League.
Juventus for a bit
and,
in Serie A.
Yeah. And someone has done it to the Premier League.
Well,
so they could, you know, there can be a bit of titillation for a bit, but realistically, City are going to win this title again.
You think they're going to win the Champions League again?
Go on, hit him, Jim. Hit him. The Premier League.
I'm talking about the Premier League. This is what's more relevant.
Fucking unreal.
They're definitely going to win the Champions League.
The disrespect. We invite him in here.
You're forgetting two men, right? Jim Campbell and Jude Bellingham. All right.
Are they playing together in midfield?
I wish they would.
I fancy our chances for the Euros.
But let's take it back to the game then, Luke, because we can talk about all this kind of stuff. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there was some great football and some of the touches. I know De Bruyne is really their main man and Rodri just irresistible. But Phil Foden, some of the little flicks and
he's been an incredible former and he's an amazing technical player who has somehow avoided being a real hothouse flower, given how he's protected by the academy system and how he's been brought into first team football. Like, it's an incredible argument for the academy system, because the general criticism of how players are produced at the top level these days is that, you know, they don't play quote unquote real football. They don't do like a Harry Kane and go and play with players who are playing for their livelihoods and battling against relegation and finding that element of the game and what it's all about. And Foden's done none of that, but he's still graduated to being one of the very best players in the world. It was never going to be an issue around his technical ability and his movement and his fitness and all that kind of stuff and his brain, but he's just so tenacious as well. He's super brave. He's small of stature, but he seems really tough.
Do you think the plaster cast adds to that? It's a little bit like Malcolm Marshall bowling at Headingley with one arm in a cast, isn't it?
More intimidating.
Talk about his stature. He's got the best posture, I think, of anyone I've ever seen. It's ridiculous.
He's got an amazing running style, an amazing balance. And I saw an interview with him in a car with, I think it was Rio Ferdinand.
With James Corden.
Quite recently. No, it wasn't. Thankfully, it wasn't. With Rio Ferdinand on TNT fairly recently. Mm-hmm. And he just comes across as, you know, respectfully, quite boring, but like bulletproof.
Yeah, but they're trained to be like that.
Bulletproof confidence, like amazing. So that is all to be admired, and it's an amazing thing, and it's great for England as well. And he's an incredible technician. It does contribute to the idea that yes, we can talk about these touches and we can talk about these passes and how great Man City looked and the finishes and all the rest of it and the team goal for Foden's third, or for Man City's third that Foden scored. But ultimately, that still plays into the narrative. Like, Man City can basically afford to take the piss because they've been drawn against FC Copenhagen, and FC Copenhagen are a light year behind them on every single aspect
but
of this game.
Everyone is in the Champions League this year. There is not a
but
team
not
that
for
can
the
hold
same
re-
but not for the same reasons. There's no reason, actually. That, well, the reasons that say Bayern Munich and Real Madrid aren't anywhere near Real Madrid this near Man City this season isn't the same reason FC Copenhagen.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
That's the point that you've got to distinguish between. And I, as I said at the top of this, I just, you know, I love the Champions League, particularly through the 90s and maybe a bit beyond that, because it was genuinely felt like heavyweight stuff, quite unpredictable, famous nights and all the rest of it. And now we just are seeing fewer and fewer of those until we get to a later and later stage in the competition. And I don't think the changes that have been implemented for next season are going to arrest that. In fact, they're probably
going to do the reverse.
I mean, I have to say, the changes next season,
We talked about that on the mailbag on Saturday, right? People should listen to that. Yeah, they haven't already.
And they will, you know, most likely be to the detriment of the competition. However, though, I'm reluctant to go too heavy on this. I do agree with your points, but
it's not Phil Foden's fault, by the way.
No, it isn't Phil Foden's fault. He's just doing his job.
Yeah, doing it bloody well.
But we are highlighting the best team in Europe against what is undoubtedly a minnow. I mean, you know, big sides would hammer smaller sides, you know, even in the 90s or the noughties, it would be fewer and far between. Yeah. You see more great comebacks these days. You might actually. I think we've seen some incredible ones with regards to that. But Copenhagen, the fact is that they're there. You know, it was a great achievement getting out of the group. So, you know, being drawn against Manchester City is not what they wanted. You know, they're not Maidstone.
Sure. Also,
you know,
they hadn't played a competitive game since the last game of the group stage.
So, you know, it was a shame for them that they conceded that goal late on, even though, I mean, even if they were a goal to the good, you wouldn't fancy them. But we should mention, though, with Manchester City, it was a great shame for Jack Grealish, who made his first start in six matches, went off injured after just 21 minutes, and he looked very, very distraught.
He did, and that's something about Jack Grealish looking sad, because he's sort of someone who is really kind of unvarnished, where the sort of media training, he just sort of ignores it, doesn't he? He really feels everything on his face, and you could almost, it's just impossible not to empathise with him about how gutted he was. Like, he immediately knew, didn't he? Just looked heartbroken.
Yes.
And we all love Jack Grealish. It's one of the complicated things about City, isn't it? You can find them very frustrating, but they've got a lot of very likeable players. They're very good to watch. We all love Pep Guardiola to varying degrees. And Grealish is one of those people it's very difficult not to feel sympathy for and not to sort of get behind as well. It's sad to see.
And obviously an injury to a player, and we hope it isn't serious, but an injury to a player is always difficult, and that's never something that we want to see. But it's particularly impactful for someone like Grealish, who feels like he's felt like, to me, that, you know, he'd said, you know, by his own admission, he'd struggled to adjust and adapt to what was expected of him at City, having been the main man at Villa. It felt like he got over that hurdle and was really becoming a key part of it, was becoming a key part of England, because it wasn't that long ago he wasn't starting games for England. He was kind of being brought on as a bit of a wild card or a bit of a kind of, you know, a bit of a joker. And this is further compounding what has actually been a very, very disappointing season for him overall anyway. Mm-hmm. And Guardiola's made comments about, you know, his level and he's working hard and all the rest of it. But if you read between the lines there, you can tell that Guardiola hasn't felt confident in starting him very often. And then this just compounds that. So it's terrible timing. You're 3 or 4 months out from the Euros, and we'll wait and see the seriousness of the injury. But it's really like a case of a couple of steps forward and one step back for him now. Yeah. Because, I mean, it really is difficult to see how his season is rescued now.
Mm. Bernardo Silva also, injury concern over him. Yeah. So slightly
mixed fortunes for them there.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. But, I mean, you know, a good win nonetheless.
Can I just mention Oscar Hoyland coming on and immediately clattering Erling Haaland, which is brave when you've got to go to the Etihad, to be honest. saying on Monday how Rasmus Hoyland isn't cool correctly.
Yeah.
I think Oscar Hoyland might be the cool brother.
Right. Yeah, I think there's always one who's cooler. Yeah. There's always one. Are you cooler than your brother?
I think we might disprove that theory, actually.
Okay. Are you cooler than your brother?
I mean, I think the masses have spoken on that.
That's going to be this week's poll.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Marcus and Jim versus their brothers. Because I haven't got a brother. And nor have you?
No,
so we can't tell it. Me and Andy are kind of brothers, and he's definitely the cooler one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He may agree with the second part. Let's move on to Red Bull Leipzig versus
Raspel and Sport.
Yeah. Andy, do you want to come in on that? Because it's disrespectful to call them Raspel and Sport when they're really called Red Bull, right?
Yeah.
Let's all make up words in German. That's what they've been doing.
Okay. Is it really?
Okay.
Yes.
Well, they lost to Real Madrid 1-0. Brahim Diaz's goal of extreme quality settled the tie.
Yeah.
What an absolute beauty it was.
Good celebration as well. Good celebration as well.
Well, I love it that he comes in for Jude Bellingham and does something which would light up any stadium, was worthy of winning any game.
And then does his hamstring.
Yeah, I know. It's better to have loved and lost, Andy, as Valentine's Day always proves.
It's like you're being Bellingham literally for the day.
Yeah.
You know, he's
but then your body can't take it. This is too much.
Probably. It's like he's waited so long to get a chance to be the centre of that team. And the way he's played for Real Madrid throughout the season, he's been absolutely fantastic. Another former Manchester City player, of course.
I could just assume that, by the way.
Yeah, obviously. It's like Sunderland in Luke's game, isn't it?
It is a bit, yeah. I think Jude Bellingham's the only one, isn't
he? The Sunderland or the Stoke clauses are both very powerful in Luke's game.
That's true.
And he scores this fantastic goal and then pulls out. I mean, the amazing thing about Real Madrid this season, I've just obviously written them off for the Champions League. But if you had to pick someone else from the field, obviously a lot of people would pick Real Madrid because of history, muscle memory, the fact that Bellingham's going to come back at some point, all those sort of things. The amount of injuries they have had this season is unbelievable.
Right.
And they're still top of the league.
And yet they're they're going through it all.
Well, when we were sat in St James's Park at the start of the Champions League and we gave our predictions on who would win the Champions League, I actually said Real Madrid purely because Jude Bellingham plays for them.
Yeah, well, he's the best player in the world. So, I mean, it makes sense.
But, right? I mean, he missed this game because he had an injury, of course, hence he has played. The injury was sustained in Real Madrid's 4-0 win over title rivals Girona at the weekend, which, like, is gutting.
It's a letdown, yeah, that. It is. It's a massive letdown. But the thing is, though, is there not... We all kind of glance over, with Andy accepted because he obviously knows a lot about Spanish football, but you glance over the kind of La Liga league table and you watch a game here and there. That's basically my relationship with Spanish football, and that's it. And you look at Girona and you go, that's an interesting story. But actually, when you scratch beneath the surface, isn't it actually not that an interesting story because it's all part of the same group as City and all the rest of it? And it's a bit like...
You've got to give credit, though. You have to.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing. I'm genuinely asking a question I don't know the answer to.
As I understand it, and I'm sure you'll put me right, Girona's budget is something like a 13th of Real Madrid's. So though there is obviously the kind of City football group issue at play, they're not the same as Manchester City in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, bear in mind that they had a striker last season, Tati Castellanos, who was loaned to them from another one of their sister clubs, New York City FC, simply so they could see him in European football and he would be sellable to somewhere else. So they sold him to Lazio. So basically, they're like a showroom, and a load of those players will get shifted on. There might be one of the very best, one or two, who get taken on by Manchester City, like Savio, for example, who belongs to Troyes in France, has been loaned to
Girona.
But
he's never played for them. But the whole thing sticks to high heaven, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just disgustingly modern football.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of the football Girona have played, if you're just talking in terms of on-pitch competition with relatively modest resources, as Jim was saying, they've played amazing football. It's not just that they've got great results. They're first team to 50 goals. They went and scored 5 at Montjuic against Barcelona. You know, they're a real best foot forward sort of team. They're absolutely great to watch. And in a league where it's not always super competitive and you don't hear of anyone, especially if you're watching it from a distance outside Real Madrid, Barcelona, and maybe Atletico Madrid, it's pretty amazing. I guess the thing is, you would say as well, that Real Madrid, being the utterly unromantic story that they are, have just saved their best 2 performances of the season for Girona. There was very much a sense of, right, you've had your fun here. And Bellingham's part of that, totally.
Yeah. That is so Madrid.
I mean, I know what you mean, look how it sort of sinks high, and as it's discussing modern football.
What I'm trying to say is, how can I get Portsmouth as part of that group?
You had your FA Cup win.
We're top of the league now, by the way.
There we are.
Exactly. So if you're listening, Man City Group, whatever they're called, what are they called?
City Football Group.
Yeah, if you're listening, you know, get yourself down the South Coast.
Portsmouth City Football Group or the Musketeer? What would you prefer?
Musketeer would be more fitting.
We've already got the ex-Disney guy, haven't we? So you know, probably.
Who's likely to keep the bloke with the cowbell?
It's not a cowbell. It's just a bell.
All right.
It would be better.
He's
the
bell. Likely to get rid of him. What's he holding?
But if he hung it around his neck, it would be funny, wouldn't it? Just like some low energy cow. He's like dinging it. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes around the corner. You know. Jesus, man.
Yeah, keep him in there. Well, look, it was a good win for Portsmouth. They're on the march.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are on the march. And so are Leicester, 12 points clear. You often get one team who just blasts everybody out of the way.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, speaking from experience, it's bloody glorious. But last night at the Championship, did you see Jadon Philogene almost scoring a Rabona for Hull?
I can't. He did score a Rabona. Yeah.
But I think he's crossing the ball. And it takes a slight deflection and goes in.
The only angle I've seen makes it very difficult to see whether it was on target or not.
It was given as an own goal.
It obviously wasn't on target then because it's been given as an own goal. But it's an incredible piece of technical brilliance.
Are you being complicit in stealing that goal off him? Are you the nanny to Cristiano Ronaldo in that Portugal-Spain friendly?
Yeah, nanny, we should say, in case anyone's really confused.
You're really confused with him by saying nanny. Yeah. Like it was like an actual grandmother doing it.
Andy, come on. It's not a nanny state, okay? all right.
It's a beautiful goal, though. It's worth seeking out if you've not seen it.
A beautiful bit of skill. You know, get him on the plane.
Sorry, you imagine like Harry Kane said that Gareth Southgate. Sorry, why is this guy here? Oh, he's a nice fella, but like, well, back in February, he scored a deflected Rabona goal for Hull.
But we think it wasn't deflected.
Yeah.
New York Stadium.
Jack,
I'm convinced.
And Jack Grealish is still injured, so here it is.
Oh, dearie me. All right, coming up in the second half, we've got a blue card update, a Jordan Henderson update, and some Champions League chat ahead of tonight. See you in a moment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Ah, welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Yes, on Sven-Göran Eriksson, have you seen the lovely news that Liverpool have announced that Sven will be part of their LFC Legends management team for a charity game against Ajax Legends in March?
Fantastic.
It's lovely, isn't it?
And what is also really nice about, and speaks very highly of Sven, is that, and maybe you guys did know this, but I didn't. I saw an interview with him the other day when this was announced, and he said, oh yeah, look, I'm a lifelong Liverpool fan,
yeah,
but I never told anyone that when I was working in England, mm-hmm, because I didn't think it would be appropriate and people would start asking unhelpful questions. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, classy.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That is classy.
I know what you mean.
That's a man who can keep a secret.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Legend, though. Legend.
Without yeah. doubt.
Yeah. We'd have to ramble about Sven, I don't reckon.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so, yeah. So, yeah, he wished that he was would have been manager of Liverpool at some point, and so this was put to them. And yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice to see. All right, everybody, let's talk about blue cards. We've discussed the plans for blue cards to be trialled in next season's FA Cup. We talked about this quite recently. Well, one thing we didn't consider, and this has obviously come out in the news, is what happens to the goalkeepers. They will not be exempt from blue cards. Under current protocol, no penalised player can be substituted until their temporary period on the sidelines has ended. So, if you go down to 10 players when someone's been sin-binned, you will get the 11th player back.
Yeah.
This is crucial to remember.
You can't sub that sin-bin player because that would be pointless.
Yeah. And if you do, you have to wait until the time is up, all that kind of stuff. So, the dilemma is, do you put an outfield player in goal for that period of time, or do you put a substitute goalkeeper on and take off an outfield player, but then, of course, the goalkeeper would then come back on.
So you'll have two goalkeepers.
So I'm saying, Andy, Phil Jagielka's coming out of retirement.
Either way, it's great news for us. Because
is Niall Quinn too old?
What I like about this is that they clearly haven't thought it through.
Yeah. No.
Until someone's pointed this out.
What about goalkeepers?
So, and the thing is, they can't say that goalkeepers are exempt from the blue card, because then the goalkeepers could just stand there tearing strips off referees.
Sean Dyche has seen this and gone, oh no.
But yeah, it is absolutely bonkers. And it makes it, I know I say this quite a lot, but it reminds me just of the Ange Postecoglou quote. It's like, the game is largely fine. Just stop doing this shit.
He used a really, really good word, didn't he? He said that other sports are trying to declutter. And that's exactly right. That's exactly what needs to happen in terms of, you know, the issues we're seeing, that particularly the VAR's brought to the sport, and a lot of other things that just slow everything down. This is, it's just hard to see what the advantage is here. 10 minutes is way too long as well. Well, Jim, that's enough time to lose a game, isn't it?
This is all for disciplinary reasons. This is trying to get people to stop shouting at referees and all that kind of
stuff.
But
the laws already exist.
I know, exactly. And that's the point. And I understand at grassroots level they've trialled this, and referees like it at grassroots level. But that is a very different thing. Grassroots level referees might fear for their safety sometimes. If you're in a stadium of 50,000 people and you've got, you know, everyone around you, nothing bad is really going to happen to you. At grassroots level, I think it is quite helpful to
well,
to
listen, have this. Part of the canoe pushed over Paul Alcock once.
He went down very easily for me.
He did. He did. So enough water under the bridge, but to say that now, it's not too soon.
I have to say, just like, let's rewind a second. Just because the crowd's there doesn't mean that referees are treated in an acceptable way. Just because they're not getting chinned every 5 minutes doesn't mean that referees are treated in an acceptable way.
No, but I could understand why referees at grassroots level like this, because that has been the reports, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That's what we've heard.
It has to be.
Also, it's easy to mock these things, isn't it? It's easy to laugh at things that are so sort of different and so extreme to the fabric of it. But the whole point of trials is to see if actually in practice they work. And I think it should be encouraged that things like this are trialed. I can't see this one taking off.
I think that's fair.
But we should be open to the idea of this.
Yeah,
sort of
disciplinary
thing.
Measures are meant to be a genuine deterrent.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But here's the thing, like, we have seen this season, I think it was Diogo Dalot getting 2 yellows quick for chipping off.
Yeah.
And people were quite surprised. And I remember at the time thinking, this is a bit of a moment, actually.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if other referees see that and go, okay, he's done that, he's implemented the laws correctly, the world hasn't ended, you know, fine, Ten Hag was annoyed and Dalot probably thought, shit, what have I done here? I've not done anything different than anyone else has done. I haven't read the referee's report, but I presume it was a dissent issue because that's what everyone seemed to think it was. And they could have really used that as a platform and started saying to players, carry on like this, you're going to go. Mm-hmm. And if 3 or 4 players went in a game, a high-profile game for that, managers would say what they would say publicly, but privately they'd be saying, look, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And this kind of problem has ebbed and flowed for a while. And in the late 90s, Man United were awful for it. Famous scenes of, you know, Roy Keane leading the Man United team around the referee. And I think Keown's done a similar thing when he was at Arsenal with the team. They had a bit of a problem with it as well. So it has happened for a long old time. The point is that the laws exist. And I think if you're not careful, forget the goalkeeper thing, which will be of interest to a show like this, and I'll bloody enjoy it for all the reasons I don't take football that seriously, so I don't particularly care that much. But on the actual blue card implementation for an outfield player, what are we going to see? It's not difficult to game out what's going to happen, and it seems highly likely to me that not only Jim's point about it perhaps being a bit too long is a good one, I think also over and above that, you're just going to see probably 10 minutes of absolute shit because a team's going to go, right, settle in. We're going to have trained for this during the week. We do two banks or a bank of 5 or 4 or whatever. And we know the clock's ticking. We ain't going to bother attacking. And it's going to kill the game.
I think genuinely this idea might have been better received if it was pitched as an orange card. Genuinely, because the idea of the orange card is already there.
I said the orange card and everyone said you can't have the orange card because it looks too much like a red.
Yeah, well,
then we started talking about Fanta for about 5 minutes. I was on the show, I remember it.
Yeah.
So it had to be a blue card, apparently.
Have you had pineapple Fanta?
I haven't, actually, no.
Nice, Coming through Putney Bridge after a Fulham game.
It sounds like it'd be too sweet.
I imagine you can get it in other places, right? Or have you got a guy?
No, but that's my thing, so.
Under the bridge.
Yeah, above the bridge, but you drink it under the bridge. Anthony Kiedis is there
in a brown paper bag.
Yeah, well, that's a place I know definitely has it, you see.
Right.
But there are many other outlets.
Is it not too sweet?
One-off, you know.
A bit like Lille, is it?
We'll try it.
Because Lilt, you had the grapefruit to kind of temper it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I know you are.
Yeah. Lilt has now been amalgamised into Fanta now, hasn't it?
Yes,
it's a Fanta-branded soft drink now.
There you are, you see.
Yeah.
It's like the City Group of soft drinks. Jim, were you making a point about blue card? Oh, yeah, orange cards.
Yeah. I think genuinely the psychology of it people might not have reacted in such an extreme way if it wasn't blue, because blue just seems so
weird,
like so abstract.
Unfortunately, something that football genuinely, seriously, has been really bad about is addressing the fact that a huge part of its audience is colorblind, and like it was a big complaint that a lot of people had, particularly online, at the African Cup of Nations, actually. So,
yeah, well, that's me told.
Yeah, exactly, Jim. Think your points through next time.
Yeah, he's hammering me today.
Yeah, I know. Do you want me to go at him for a bit? Well, I could do 5 minutes.
To be
now,
honest, I think the listeners are starting to see what a bully he is. Yeah. Like the mask is slipping.
Exactly. Yeah. Do 5 minutes of your Friday hammering of me now.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Well, should we do it in the Jordan Henderson update?
Yeah, all right. Well, okay, it could be my blue card.
There we are.
Yeah.
So, Andy, the rules of the game are also under scrutiny in the Netherlands.
If you could explain it to me and Jordan, that would be nice.
I can. The Netherlands, of course, famously, everyone loves the colour orange there.
Yeah.
Henderson learnt during Ajax's 3-2 loss to Heerenveen that the Eredivisie doesn't have goal line technology. Ajax were denied a potential equaliser because the whole ball didn't cross the line. Henderson said after the game he didn't know goal line technology wasn't used in the Netherlands, but was still unimpressed that VAR didn't give the goal. Now, if you see this interview, Henderson is really, really pissed off, and they show us still of where the ball is. And they're saying, "Were you telling me that's not crossed the line?" It's like, you can see, Jordan, that the whole ball hasn't crossed over. And we all remember the curvature of the ball in the World Cup and all that kind of business. But you can see with just the naked eye that like 95% of the ball has crossed the line.
The guy that's interviewing him is A, speaking in his second language.
Yeah, very
and,
well.
Very well. And B, explaining very well and very kindly, "Look, I agree with you. It's probably over the line," he says to him. "But you can't tell." And he's like, "Well, I don't know about that."
It's good to see Jordan's Dutch is coming on, though. Absolutely no effort whatsoever.
He could take a leaf out of Steve McLaren's book.
He could. Just do a little bit for us. Yeah. Do a little inflection.
I mean, the thing is, at least with Steve, there was an acknowledgement of, "I don't speak the language. Okay, what I'm doing is not helping anybody. In fact, maybe even hindering." But there was an acknowledgement, whereas Henderson was
just
going,
"This might ruin my career, this accent." And I thought the umbrella was bad.
Well, Henderson was just going full pelt, wasn't he? Yeah. He was just really annoyed.
But that's the kind of level of entitlement 6 months of Saudi Arabia will give you.
Come on.
Yeah, I literally want goals now that aren't goals.
Is that how it is?
Yeah.
Could come in handy in the Euros.
Why haven't they got goal line technology in Holland, Andy?
It's a weird thing because
I'm holding you personally responsible for that.
Here we go.
As a European representative in this studio, you need to really fucking.
Well, I have to decide. I've only got a limited budget. I have to decide where it's going to go. Mm. It's funny because.
But don't you spend it?
They took it. Yeah. They took it out. Goal line technology midway through a season in France a couple of seasons back.
In France,
because the referee's watch kept going off when it wasn't over the line, and it didn't go off when it was going over the line. So it's
just
actually,
do the opposite then.
That's the only job it's got.
It didn't work once. Like, that's, no, just
get rid of it, Rich.
That it happened a lot. Yeah, and so, it's quite a laborious process because you've got to dig out all these cameras from
the stadiums
and all the rest of it. It was just a malfunction. They went and got a different provider. Right. But I guess they think in the Netherlands that if you've got VAR, maybe you don't need specifically goal line technology and the watch going off. Because I think budgetary is part of it. Like, you know, like a lot of leagues aren't having semi-automated offside because it's just too expensive.
Okay.
Not everywhere's as wealthy as the Premier League, Luke.
I'll accept that answer for now. Carry on, Mark.
City are paying.
They are. Yeah, and they've also got the controls. In neighbouring Belgium at the weekend, Royal Antwerp won 4-0. Now, why are we bringing this to the table, everybody? Well, after the game, Antwerp player Yelly Batai celebrated with the fans by showing them his tattoo commemorating their win, which is on his bum.
It's also written,
when you say celebrating their win, not celebrating this 4-0 win because it would have been extremely fresh. Celebrating them winning the double last season.
It would have had a cling film on it still.
It's very small as well. So he's asking a lot of those fans. A lot of them will have just thought he was showing them his arse.
Yeah. And presumably that's a bookable offence, right? Because you take your shirt off, you get booked. So presumably he's getting
paid after the game, though, isn't it?
Luke.
So it's after the game. He wasn't celebrating a goal.
No,
that is why you have a blue card.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You get your bits out, blue card.
Bit of blue for the dads.
Yeah. Get your bits out.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a leap, isn't
and
it?
If you get,
well, Andy, he might have had his legs open.
And if you get a blue card for getting your old chopper out, you have to sit in the sin bin bit with your cock and balls on.
See how you like it then.
And then, and the broadcaster, the host broadcaster, has to pixelate comment. It.
Yep.
Live.
Again, what's not good for the game is very good for the ramble, often, but not always. Yeah.
You see, Toby Alderweireld is sitting here thinking.
Was he playing?
See, he scored twice in this game.
Of course he did.
And so did Vincent Janssen. They're sitting there going, why don't we get fucking mentioned?
Well,
just because our mate got his arse out.
Well, that's how you get a mention. Yeah. Otherwise, why would we be talking about Belgian football, Andy?
Yeah, exactly.
Will he keep this up, do you think?
Will he keep this up?
Will he keep this up? If they win more stuff, will he get more bum tattoos?
Well, the thing is, I think you'd have thought you're pretty safe because it's the first time Antwerp have won the league in over 50 years. And so, I don't know.
I wouldn't analyse it too much, Andy.
Yeah. I wouldn't analyse it too much.
There you go. You see? Yeah. Three of them are showing you're all right. Right, tonight, everybody, Champions League, Lazio play Bayern at München. The Champions League could be Harry Kane's best chance of silverware this season at Bayern after they got gubbed by Bayer Leverkusen.
And it was an absolute gubbing as well. A total gubbing. I enjoyed the OTC reacts with our friend Archie Rintut.
Yeah.
And you guys really got across exactly how much of a shellacking it was.
Yeah. I mean, talking of blue cards, all those Bayern players had their pants pulled down.
They did. Big time.
It's such a complete performance for Bayern Leverkusen.
Yeah, they've been brilliant all season. We talked about Girona and style as well as the results, but Leverkusen were amazing. And 3-0, if anything, flattered Bayern.
Yeah.
Did you love the fact, Jim, that Harry Kane goes to Bayern Munich? You know, still very much the Spurs man, I think we can agree. And he's thinking, yeah, surely I'll win something at Bayern. But of course, the Arsenal man, Granit Xhaka, and the boys stopping him at
That's
Bayern.
That's great stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't not enjoy it. Yeah. I know I should be more mature than this, but I just can't enjoy that.
Well, when they're celebrating,
Eric Dier in there as well.
When they're celebrating the title
Spurs are fired Bayern Munich, and what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. When they're celebrating the title win, Xhaka won't be more mature about it. So there's no reason that you should be.
Well, he's the one with the door keys. He is the mature one, lest we forget.
Bayern Munich in the domestic cup still?
No.
They got knocked out by a third-tier team. Mm. Yeah. Fantastic.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Thomas Tuchel is still there.
Mm.
He will probably win the top scorer award, though, won't he? Have you seen the trophy for that?
It's massive, isn't it?
Have you seen what it is?
What is it?
It's four cannons on top of each other.
No, so like the Gunners.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that'll be fun.
Well, he already received at that fan club thing that he went to. Harry Kane received that tobacco cannon, didn't he? And he was stood there and he goes, well, I think I'm going to have to Google what I have to do with that.
Harry.
Also, the reason Bayern Munich can't fire Thomas Tuchel is because Jose Mourinho is very much at large.
I love so much.
He's getting spotted in the Munich area.
Yeah, and also the fact that we know he's learning German.
Yeah, I know.
It's not by accident, is it?
No, exactly.
No, I mean, that is built being the most built they've ever been. They're writing this article about how shit they think Thomas Tuchel is, and they've just put in this little line about Jose Mourinho is learning German. It's like, you know what you've done there.
Yeah,
that doesn't even make sense in the context of the article, but you've just stuck it in
Xavi's
there,
under pressure and he just happens to appear in Barcelona. Tuchel's under pressure, suddenly we all know that he's learning German. He's way more interesting when he's not managing a team.
Yes. Ghost at the feast.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah.
Glorious. Elsewhere in Germany at the weekend, Hamburg ultras fastened bike locks to the goalposts as a part of a fan protest. Officials had to use an angle grinder to cut the lock, despite the fact the opposition Hanover fans had displayed a banner saying the solution is 50+1, which is of course the ownership model in the majority of Bundesliga clubs, and it turned out to be the code to remove the bike locks.
The code was 5001, wasn't it?
It's like solving a puzzle in a video game where you've got to figure it out from your surroundings.
Uh-huh. But you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that amazing bloke, I think it was Everton, who was trying to
clip
the using the old bolt cuff as his face. Oh my God.
Amazing
it's
bloke.
So good. He was. I wonder what he's up to now.
Yeah.
But all these protests about private equity investment in Germany, they've got way, way out of hand. I mean, you know, Union Berlin scored their winner in the 25th minute of first half stoppage time.
Bloody hell.
Because they spent so long cleaning tennis balls off the pitch.
That's what football's become now. That happens a lot here as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tennis ball protests in England as well, you know.
Get it sorted, everybody. Mm. PSG versus Real Sociedad, or Royal Society, as I like to call them, is a contrasting one. BBC did a nice article about this.
About Sociedad's academy and stuff
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, yeah. And Real Sociedad have 13 academy graduates in their Champions League squad, the most of any side left in the competition. That's impressive, that is.
It is, given when you set against the idea that PSG have potentially the best hotbed of talent in world football anywhere, and they've ignored it all.
It is a bit like herding cattle. There's so many good players, inevitably they're going to lose some.
I think they could do a bit more.
Yeah. Although the owner or the chairman of PSG said that the bling bling era of PSG is over now. Mm. He said, and I thought, okay.
Yeah. And then in the same breath, he said, "Well, City of Paris, if you're not going to sell us the Parc des Princes, we're off."
But he's going to franchise them somewhere else?
No, they're just going to build a new stadium somewhere else.
Oh, okay, right. I thought you meant you're going to take PSG to like another city or something.
And of course, at the moment, Real Sociedad, Kieran Tierney.
I love that.
Is on loan.
Yeah, I love that you've got all these academy players. It's meant to be a beautiful city, isn't it? You've got this just Scottish lad having the time of his life.
It would be nice if they beat PSG, Andy. Come on.
That'd be amazing.
It would go against what we said at the top of this procession type fixtures. Yeah. It'd be brilliant if they were able to do it. Because it's the first game in Paris, right?
Yeah. So. And it does feel as if this particular last 16 of the Champions League draw is a bit...
Yeah, and I think
it?
Also...
I think they're the side we're looking at to maybe do something.
Well, it's also...
Other than Arsenal, of course.
Those of us who don't support our Champions League team and find aspects of the Champions League boring these days, particularly at the start, you know, there's one thing you can rely on, which is PSG setting fire to themselves. And if that happens against Real Sociedad, I'll bloody enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. The every year that goes on that PSG don't win the Champions League is fine by me.
Yeah. Is Carlos Vela still at Real Sociedad? I know he's king of California, isn't he?
King of LA.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. If you're not a Patron subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. And of course, you can all follow us on Twitter.
So it's currently known as X, though, Mark, because he's made it absolutely clear.
Right, okay.
Elon Musk bought it and he changed its name to X. You can still find it on twitter.com, but I'm sure he's going to sort out that mess.
Right, okay. Yeah. Appreciate you picking up the pieces there.
Yeah.
TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. Follow us on Spotify. There we are. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew Brassel.
Thanks.
And thank you, Elon Musk.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.